Chapter 1. After hours spent standing in the courtyard listening to Pharaoh's account of his own greatness, and then seeing him climb into a waiting palanquin, my emotions were conflicted. On one hand, I was surprised and, if truth be told, a little offended he still hadn't called for me. But my shock at discovering Pharaoh wasn't the wise and handsome man I expected, was mixed with relief at not having to face him immediately. I needed time to reconcile myself to this new image of him. Back in my chambers, I sank onto a couch and peeled off my bangles, stacking them beside me on the cushion. They had been heavy and hot against my skin in the day's heat. And this was still Shemu, which was supposedly not the hottest time of the year. Our Mosey and Merritt Ray stood together at a window, talking quietly as they looked out over the grounds three stories below. "What did you think of Pharaoh?" Etu asked as she poured herself some melon juice. She held up the jug to ask if I wanted some, and I nodded. My throat was parched. I searched for a response that would be honest enough without revealing my disgust. "He wasn't as I expected," I said at last. Etu brought me a mug, and I drank gratefully, as much to give myself time to think as anything else. Indeed, the flabby, pompous man we had spent half the day waiting for was nothing like I had imagined. He bore little resemblance to Kemalu or Sutum, or any of the other palace guards I had seen. His shaved head was where any similarity with those men ended. They had muscular physiques from working or training. He had the softness of a man who did nothing but laze around on couches and eat far too much good food. But worse than his appearance was what I had learned about his mind. His speech, for which hundreds of ornaments were kept standing in the sun for hours, was a monotonous accounting of his own greatness. The sun rose because of him. The great river flooded at the appropriate time and to the most desirable height, because of him. We ate and drank and were clothed because of him. Apparently everything which was right or good occurred because of Pharaoh, in his own mind at least. He said nothing of any importance. No mention of Neb too, who had been missing for more than a week. No discussion about politics, or the state of the country, or the welfare of its people. Nothing about anything other than himself. My disappointment was my own fault, really. There was no reason to expect he would be anything like I had imagined. But still, I was bitterly disillusioned. I had expected Pharaoh to be a wise and intelligent man, even if he wasn't handsome. Well educated. Someone who knew his own mind and had definite opinions, yes, but a man who took advice from those around him and considered the value of their views, like my father. Wasn't that what the ruler of a country should be like? But it was clear Pharaoh was a man who liked the sound of his own voice more than he liked truth. "My lady." Etu's voice drew me from my musings, and I realized she was still waiting for me to expand on my brief answer. I didn't want to reveal how foolish I had been. "I don't know what I expected. It wasn't true, but she wouldn't know. I suppose I might have thought more of him if he hadn't made us wait so long, and then if his speech had..." My voice trailed away as I realized it mightn't be wise to criticize the man father had sent me halfway around the world to marry. Etu gave me a hurt look and turned her attention to fussing over our mosey, making sure the old woman was comfortable in her chair. It wasn't that I didn't trust Etu. Her stoic acceptance of the role of thief when Tia's missing finger ring was discovered on her person told me clearer than anything else I could trust her. But I feared my dislike of Pharaoh revealed too much about my own character. Father had sent me to seal the alliance between Babylon and Egypt. That was my duty, and it mattered little what the man he had offered me to was like. But I couldn't say this to Etu. It wouldn't be a truthful representation of how I felt. "Do you wish for me to go to Tall and Half tonight?" our mosey asked, waving away Etu's fussing. "I can try again to understand whatever it is Tall thinks you should know. Careful. Pharaoh. Danger." That was the message he sent back with our mosey last time. The warning was clear, although the nature of the danger still eluded us. "You went out only last night," I said. "I think you should rest tonight. If Tall could tell her more, it would be valuable information. But our Mosey was an old woman, 50 years at least, and I couldn't expect her to spend every night wandering the streets of Thebes. Besides, is it safe for you to use the potion so often? I suppose if I start glowing in the dark, we can assume not, our Mosey said. I laughed, surprised at her humor, although I didn't miss that she hadn't really answered my question. I would try to remember to ask her again, but in private. Maybe she didn't want to worry the others. I could go, Etu said. There might be news about Pharaoh's visit today. Someone should go to them as soon as possible. I suppose they were all wondering the same as me, why Pharaoh hadn't yet summoned me to meet him. Had my father done something to offend him? Had relations between Babylon and Egypt cooled to the point that Pharaoh didn't even want to meet the Babylonian princess sent to marry him? Would anyone tell me if the terms of the alliance had changed? Probably not. If anyone is to go, it should be me, our Mosey said. One look at her wan face told me she didn't have the strength for another night so soon spent walking all the way to Pharaoh's palace and back. You can give me the potion ingredients and tell me what to do, Etu said. There is no reason it has to be you. There are three of us to share the burden. She nodded towards Merit Ray, signaling it was she and not me, who Etu considered the third person. Merit Ray was swift to agree. It isn't hard, is it? She asked. You just have to see the guards' faces and then drink the potion, right? It worked for Etu the time she went out. Well, yes, our Mosey said. The knowledge is in the ingredients. Once the potion has been prepared, it should work for anyone. Could Tall and Half use it? I asked. If you prepared extra ingredients, could someone take it to them so they could come to us? Our Mosey tapped her chin as she considered my questions. I don't see why not, she said. As long as they don't mix it with water until they need it, or it will lose its potency. But are they not more valuable to you in Pharaoh's palace? I agree, Etu said, although the look on her face said she was torn. I supposed she would like Half to be here. They are our only source of information from the outside. We can trust nobody else to tell us the truth, rather than what the administrators want us to know. Merit Ray, I asked. What is your opinion? She hadn't met Tall or Half, but I wanted each of my companions to feel like their views mattered. We needed each other if we were to survive in this place. Merit Ray opened her mouth, but stopped and gave me a look that seemed filled with uncertainty. Go on, I said. We should each have a say in such an important decision. If it is as Etu says, Merit Ray said hesitantly, that you can trust what they tell you, then I agree there is more value in leaving them where they are. But if there is any danger to them, we should retrieve them at once, Etu said. How would we do that? I asked. So far we can get a message to them, but they have no way to send anything to us. Could we give them a code word? Etu suggested. They could send a message to the palace, something unimportant and uncontroversial which that scribe Pentau would have no reason to censor, but if they use the code word, we would know they are in danger and someone can go get them. What if Pentau doesn't pass the message on regardless of its contents? Merit Ray asked, seemingly emboldened now. After all, she was the one with the most experience in how the palace functioned. It is quite possible that any message from unknown men would not be forwarded. They could pretend the message was from my father, I said. Perhaps with news from home. We could agree on something specific, like that my mother is ill, so if such a message arrives and it contains the agreed wording, I would know it isn't really from father. Even that might not be passed on to you, Merit Ray said. We have no way of knowing what Pentau would see fit to censor or withhold entirely. So how do we arrange for them to send us word if we can't trust that any message will be forwarded? Etu asked. It seems the only solution is for them to use our Moses potion and come to us without warning. They would have to wait in the ground somewhere and hope we find them before anyone else does. I stared down at my hands as we pondered the problem. My nails were perfectly shaped, my skin smooth from the perfumed oils my ladies rubbed into my skin every day. I was more used to my nails being ragged and untended, always too busy as I was with learning, and with a distaste of being fussed over by maids. These looked like the hands of a stranger. Our musing was interrupted by a knock at the door. Etu was quick to get to her feet and answer it. "A visitor for Lady Kaseya," came the smooth voice of Panuk, the palace's chief administrator. Etu's body shielded the visitor from my sight, so it wasn't until she thanked Panuk and ushered the woman into my chamber that I saw who it was. I stared at her for a long moment, too stunned to speak. The woman gave me a shaky smile and burst into tears. "Ishtar," I finally managed,